Bibles two places, and keep your Bibles handy. We're going to go several places. But Ezekiel chapter 2, going to read from there, and 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, Ezekiel chapter 2. While you're turning, I get they send me occasionally a Sword of the Lord paper, and I like to look at noteworthy news, and it always got different things about it, and let me share a couple of things with you. Kansas High Court approves dismemberment. It says the Kansas Supreme Court has ruled that the state constitution allegedly protects the right for a woman to dismember her child in the womb. A barbaric and dangerous abortion procedure to kill fully formed unborn babies. This Kansas law prohibits knowingly dismembering a living unborn child and extracting unborn child one piece at a time from the uterus. The Kentucky Supreme Court ruled against the Unborn Child Protection from Dismemberment Abortion Act, stating that the law violates the state's constitution's so-called right to personal autonomy, including decision whether to continue pregnancy. Next one down says Canada court rules against the father because he refuses to call his daughter his son. She had a sex change. And so the Canadian court ruled against him and said not only him but all of the family could not refer to her by her female name nor refer to her as a girl, and therefore they would be fined and penalized if they did. And he refused to recognize her as a guy, and yet they demanded that your daughter isn't a girl. Another one, pro-lifer went to college campus and was advised by a pro-abortion student that a baby who survives an abortion is not really a baby because he or she was not meant to survive. So they went there and said, they asked, said, do you believe that a baby who is born alive during abortion at Planned Parenthood should get care? The student said, no. So do you think it's a baby? No, the student replies again. Why? Because they're performing an abortion, the student responds. So for that, they've already determined that it's not a baby. Now, how stupid is that? This morning, I preach upon our freedoms. Tonight, I want to preach upon the freedoms of rebels. If most of you watch news, and I'd say a lot of you probably don't because it's sickening anymore. Most of you who do probably watch Fox News. Many of you do, I know, different ones. And I don't even like a lot of Fox News. But a lot of the other news is fake news, and it makes me sick because whatever the Democrats is their motto or their key word is all across their news, and they promote whatever the agenda is there. We have in Washington a true mess in our country on both sides. The reason why it is so corrupt is because of the amount of money that comes into Washington, D.C. One of the things that I really like about our president is he come in not having to be bought and sold by anybody. Now, I don't know anything about his money. I know a little bit about his business and his dad's business and all that. I'm not saying yay, nay, or nothing about where he got money, how he got money. I don't know enough to say and comment. But I will say this, the thing I like about him is he's not beholden to special interest. He come in with the idea of trying to clean the swamp up, and boy, it makes a bad mess when you come in and try to do that. I don't know that we'll ever get that cleaned up because of the amount of money in Washington. But I will tell you this. We have a bunch of rebels in Washington. They are disgraceful the way that they act up there. They are disgraceful the way that they, and sometimes even the president gets under my skin in some things he says, but I'll be honest with you. If I was attacked from every direction like he's been attacked ever since he's been president, even before he's been president, I don't know how I'd respond. I thought he's done a pretty good job as far as being being the president under circumstances of everything he's had to fight and battle the whole time he's in there. He gets hit from lawsuits and everything else, and every liberal court in California wants to enact something all the way across the nation, and then he has to battle it and face it and all that. We do need to pray for the president. But I will say this, the way in which they conduct themselves right now reminds me of a bunch of spoilt children. But their problem is we've got a bunch of rebels. And tonight I want to talk about the freedom of rebels and give you four or five things that rebels want, that they want for their freedom. But before I do, I want to read in chapter 2 of Ezekiel, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered to me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. Now when you read chapter 3, I'm not going to read it. He goes on with this message to this rebellious nation. He calls them three parts of their bodies. One is they are hard-headed, and they have a hard forehead. We call them numbskulls or hardheads. Is what I always called them, and you can't tell them anything. They already know everything. Not only that, they got a stubborn heart. A stubborn heart means they resist. They resist God. I don't know if you, any of you ever plow with mules? Anybody ever plow with mules here? I plow with mules. I tell you what, I'm not the only one in the whole building ever plow with a mule. Mules can be stubborn, huh? Batty ass. But mules can be pretty stubborn. I remember one old mule Dad put me with hoeing potatoes or something, or plowing potatoes. And he just, when Dad left, he would not move an inch. And I believe it's Henry McQueen's or somewhere over at his place, Mom, if you remember. But I don't know if you remember this or not. But I was going to try to plow with it, and I wasn't real old, but it wouldn't move. And I went hitting it, trying to get it moved, and it took off running all the way through the garden, tore the plants up and all that. And it was thinking me, it made, remind me of this story I heard about this guy selling a mule. Said he was selling a mule, and guy come to buy it, and said they talked, two farmers talked for a while, and he said, does a mule work? He said, yeah, he'll work. Does he obey? Yeah, he's obeyed. And said in a few minutes, he said, well, let's harness it up. Let me try it. Well, he harnessed up. The mule just stood there. He'd say, giddy up. He just moved. He said, yee-haw, never move. And the farmer said, I thought you said he obeyed. Said he reached in his back of the truck, got two before, walked over him across the head, and said, now tell him what to do. And said, well, indeed, he obeyed everything you said. He said, that's the way he's got to do it. Stubborn. That's what the word stubborn means. It means resist. Resist until God has to do something. And then it talks about ears, having ears, but refusing to hear what the word of God says. Turn, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you got your finger there. Look in verse number 23. For rebellion is as a sin of what?
Witchcraft.
And stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king, talking to Saul. In other words, he had refused. What causes someone to be a rebel? You know, a while back, our movies projects rebel and exalts them. Years ago, in our generation, not these young people, but in our generation, there was a guy, I was trying to think of his name, James Dean, came out with a movie called Rebel Without a Cause. Many of you remember that, you older people. Well, Billy Graham's son wrote us a book, Rebel With a Cause. But what causes someone to be rebel? A rebel is someone who is self-reliant, don't like to rely upon anybody else. A rebel is someone who is stubborn, that resists. Not only that, but they're self-importance. They think that they are the important one. When we look and we realize what's running this country, our Congress in Washington is full of a bunch of rebels. They resist, stubborn. They think they're so important. They're full of self-reliance. And therefore, they make all these laws to protect themselves. But yet they won't come down on everybody else. And yet they write all these laws to protect them own selves. That's why you can't hardly do nothing to a congressman or senator that's sitting. You can't hardly get nothing done to them anymore because they wrote so many laws to protect themselves. The very things, if people would go after and investigate the Congress like they've investigated the president, most of them would be in prison right now. But they wrote laws and protected themselves from that. Now, let me show you a couple things, if you would. And let's go to some verses, if you would. First of all, I want to stop at Proverbs 17. Now, turn in your Bible. We're going to go quickly. And I want to give you four things in just a moment about rebels. Their freedoms that they want. Proverbs 17, verse number 11. The Bible says, an evil man seeketh only what? Rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. In other words, an evil man wants to be rebellious. And of course, we read there that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Turn, if you would, into the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I'm going to turn you just a moment, so stay with me. Four things that rebels like to have in their freedom. Now listen up. Four things they like to have in their freedom. Number one, they like to be free from rules. They don't like to have rules. They don't mind to make rules for everybody else. But they don't like to have rules. The Bible has a word for those type of people. They're called unruly. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look in verse number 4. Verse 14, rather. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are what? Unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak, be patient toward all men. In other words, those that does not like to have rules. Look, if you would, in Titus, on over in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, right on past Timothy, right into Titus chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. For there are many what? Unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Turn on over, if you would, to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. In verse number 8, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is what? An unruly evil, full of deadly poison. In other words, doesn't like to have rules. You know what I found about rebels is that they want free from any rules. They want to make everybody else rules. That's why I was saying earlier. You look at that mess in Congress, let them go through the same investigation they put upon President Trump. And let's see how they come out of it. I mean, the people who investigated him wanted, to the best of their ability, to find something against him. They wasn't there to free him. They wouldn't have gathered the people to investigate him that they investigated if they wanted to make a fair, a level, a playing field in the investigation. Now let somebody like that go against them and see what they are. But no, they won't have any rules. They don't want any rules govern them. As a matter of fact, you go up there and sit before Congress, and I have before, by the way, and while you're sitting there talking to Congress, and sometimes you're talking about an important subject, and they'll be sitting there chit-chatting, talking, ignoring you, and just acting like you don't exist. And they can say anything they want to towards you and call you any kind of name they want to and make any kind of derogatory comment towards you that they want to, but you can't make one toward them, and all of a sudden you get called down when you do. You know why? They don't like rules. They don't like to abide by rules, but they want everybody else to abide by their rules. That's why you see a bunch of rebels. They defy rules. They want free from rules themselves. The second thing they want free from, look if you would in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says in verse number 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from what? Righteousness. Look on if you would to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, once again, I should have had you just kept your finger there, but rebels hate righteousness. They want freedom from rules. They want freedom from righteousness. They don't want anybody to hold them to a righteous standard. They don't want to hear righteous preaching. Look, if you would, in chapter 2, verse 12 of Titus. Let me get over there. The Bible says, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and what? Righteously and godly in this present world. What teaches us that? The grace of God. The grace of God. They don't want no part of that. They don't want to hear to live righteous. Therefore, they can make laws, they can make comments, they sit up there, and somebody said, why do you stand against the Democratic Party? I'm going to tell you why. And boy, there's a lot of Republicans that I don't like, too. I just want to throw that in there. The reason why I stand against that party is their platform. Their platform is everything they stand for and everything they promote is anti-scripture and anti-God, and what God teaches about homosexuality and sodomy and all those things, they go just the opposite. They don't want any rules. And as a matter of fact, when you get into it, what they do is they've taken the opposite direction of what to do. And abortion, instead of making abortion killing a baby illegal, they make it illegal to protest against abortion. Now, how stupid is that? Instead of making sodomy illegal, they make it a hate crime if you say something against it. And they'd love to shut all those preachers down that preaches truth about sodomy, about homosexuality. And as a matter of fact, be honest with you, if Hillary Clinton had got into, I'd say the churches would have had a clampdown on hate crimes everywhere around the country. Thank God that we got President Trump in there. And thank God that he's changed his heart on things and matters in along that. But I'll say this, they hate righteousness. They hate the preaching of righteousness. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 14. And we're going to stay in Proverbs a moment. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 14. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness, what? Exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm going to tell you something. When they start rejecting the righteousness of God is right living, and somebody said, well, not all our forefathers were saved people. No, but even those that wasn't saved, there was a certain amount of fear. And they would have been ashamed. They would have been disgraced to do what? You know, we need some statesmen anymore. Somebody that's got some courage, somebody that cares for the country and doesn't care for their political interests and platform. And I don't care which party you are. Now listen to me. I don't care which party you are, but if you go down and every time that there's an issue, you vote down a party line, you're bought and sold, and you might as well just mark it up and say you are because that's what you are. But look on. Not only that, but look at the third thing that they want freedom from. Look, if you would, in chapter 14 of Proverbs again, verse number 13. The Bible says, in 14:13, it says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Look on over, if you would, in chapter 13, verse number 15. Good understanding give a favor, but the way of the transgressor is what? You know what they want? They want freedom from the regrets of what they're doing to other people. The pain to themselves, the pain to other people, the hurt. They don't want to even talk about that. As a matter of fact, they bring up all the time a good example. I can't remember what city it is. Some of you all probably could tell me. But somewhere just recently in one of the sanctuary cities, they protected a couple of the MS-13 gang members. And they released them back. And what they did was, this girl knew that they'd committed a crime. They went and they chopped her up. And at first they raped her. They got her naked. They raped her relentlessly. And then they chopped her up in pieces, these two guys. And what they did was, they wouldn't turn it over to the ICE agent and tell them that they were releasing them. But yet they released those. Then when they get called upon it, they act like it's not their problem. They had nothing to do with it. Over and over and over, people, innocent people, are being killed and being injured and damaged. And then they just act like it's not their problem, even though it's their laws that's making these situations possible. Third, fourth, and most, they want to be free from responsibility. But God says that he's going to have everyone's going to stand accountable before God. One thing that you can rest, others that they've defiled, things that they've done, the outcomes they've caused, these people, when they stand before God, I see some of them up there and they're running their mouth and they're running this one down and they're running that one down. They're spitting hatred. And then with every ounce of gumption they've got, as if they're not ever going to have to stand before a righteous God. And what they hope is, and what a rebel wants, is freedom from responsibility. But my friend, there's not going to be any freedom from responsibility. Everyone's going to give an account of themselves to God. And they're going to have to give an account of everything that they've done. And so I don't know about you, and I know this may sound like a strange sermon, I don't know about you, but if I didn't realize that they're going to stand before God and let God deal with it, I would be so angry that it would be surprising how upset I would be all the time. But I refuse to let it be upset me, because I know, as much as they want freedom from these things, that when they stand before God, they're going to have to give an accounting. And so all we can do is pray. I would pray and I would rejoice to see them turn their hearts around and change their lives. But I'm going to tell you what. We have a rebellious nation. We have a rebellious Congress. And boy, we need to pray. And I'm going to tell you something else you need to do. Shame on you if you don't vote. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because if the righteous people and God's people is not trying to vote and determine who to put in office, who's going to put them in office? Be wise. Be smart. But tonight I just want to share, we talked about the freedoms that we enjoy, and I thank God for our freedoms. But we've got a bunch of rebels that they like a whole different set of freedoms. But I want you to know that they don't understand that. They think being rebellious is, and they'll have a few people giving a little money and donations and so forth. They don't understand. In God's eyes, it's like witchcraft. When they're going against His given word, His printed word, His preached word, they're going to have to give an account of themselves to God. Amen. Let's stand tonight, Brother Porter.